Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since vegetables. And you're listening to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week I speak to Joe Medhurst, holistic therapist. Well, we'll be discussing gut health. Joe, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hi, good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you on. Joe, tell us a bit about yourself and, you know, how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, so I do main therapy, although I'm trained up in lots of different therapies. The main ones I do now are abdominal massage and scar massage. So specifically helping with, you know, gut health, gynae issues, and then obviously scars as well, which is great. I've been a therapist now for about 14 years, so quite a long time. I've done loads of other different jobs as well on the side, obviously as you're training and doing other stuff like that. I've done lots of other things, and I've got a politics, philosophy and economics degree as well, so I've done all sorts of my time training and stuff. But I really love doing the therapy work and helping people heal their issues and things like this. And a big part of what I do as well is teaching people how to look after themselves, which is one reason I've sort of veered particularly towards these therapies, even though I've trained up in loads of different things, because you can teach people to do this kind of work and help themselves and leave people with a nice little treatment plan that they can do at home so they can manage all the issues themselves if they come up again. So it's nice to give people that extra knowledge and help them out that way.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. Excellent. And yeah, you do sound like you've done loads, and, you know, and I think everyone has their own journey, don't they? You kind of,
definitely,
you go for a few things and you get to the place where you want to be at. Would that be right? Did you find that?
Yeah, definitely. And I think anything you've done before, even though there's, I'm trained up in probably six or seven other therapies and therapeutic practices. But I think, although I don't necessarily offer all of them as separate sessions to people, there's still times when it's useful in a session, you know, and sometimes we'll mix it up and just say, oh yeah, I think this might be helpful here for different people, depending on what their issue is. So you can just even though I'm not, might not be doing that as a main thing anymore, it doesn't mean it doesn't get used and doesn't benefit people, and you have a deeper understanding of different practices and how different things are done. So it's always useful for different clients, I think.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm sure everything you've, all the therapy work you've done in the past, I'm sure that kind of somehow or another, maybe not all of it, but some of it interlinks with what you do now.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's all of those different therapies and things like that is very much about well-being practices and, you know, helping people get the best out of the session and in various different ways. And that's always going to be useful, I think.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Tell us a bit about gut health. You know, what is it exactly?
So with gut health, it's very much about kind of looking after your digestive tract. And there's a few different things that I would say kind of come into it. So gut biome is one, which is very much that kind of bacteria and what that, you know, your gut flora, a few different words you would use to describe it. And the balance is really the important thing with that. So you hear a lot about kind of good bacteria versus bad bacteria, but actually that's not necessarily quite right. Like, for example, you've got E. coli in your gut, that'll be in there because it is doing a job. It will be breaking something down or dealing with something. But if you get too much E. coli, you get sick. So really what it's all about is balance. So when you hear people talk about kind of good bacteria and stuff, it's more about the ones that are helping to sustain that balance. So there's things that you can do to help sustain that balance, and that has a huge impact on your overall health, not just your gut health. You know, that'll impact your immunity, your hormone balance, your you know, whether you're getting UTIs, all kinds of different things like that. So that's one aspect of it. And then healthy gut as well would just be where everything's moving and working properly and absorbing really well. You know, you see a lot of people with deficiency symptoms linked to kind of digestive problems and things like that. Inflammation is a really big issue for a lot of people as well. So gut health would just be a healthy gut would be everything flowing well, not inflamed, and just everything working as it's supposed to, with a nice kind of balance of gut bacteria. That's kind of how I would think of it, basically.
That's brilliant. I was actually watching something, funny enough, a few weeks ago on YouTube, and it you know, you get all these algorithms that come up when you're watching certain things, and what you're saying there is exactly what came up. And the person was saying, well, everyone thinks that bacteria is bad, but actually you do get good bacteria, because the food that we're eating, whether it's salads or whatever, that's got bacteria on it anyway, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And they've done there's a lot of studies coming out now about how important that bacteria is. Like, it helps you synthesize certain vitamins. They've actually found, this was a study I was reading recently, there's a guy done stuff on childhood leukemia, and actually he's found that they're more likely or much to get childhood leukemia through a jointly a incident that happens in the womb, some kind of genetic issue, plus lacking a certain bacteria. So some of these bacteria play like massively crucial roles in just helping your immune system as a whole. And so it prevents all kinds of other issues, as well as synthesizing things and protecting your immunity and stuff like that. And yeah, it's just kind of giving it that support, and the balance is really what you want to be looking for. Yeah.
Do you get, is there certain foods you eat where there's bad bacteria as well?
So not obviously, if you've got something that is like contaminated, that would be, we would think of as a bad bacteria, but it's naturally occurring things on foods. If it's naturally occurring within the food, then it wouldn't necessarily be bad as much, but there are certain foods that impact the bacteria. So too much sugar makes your system very acidic, tends to kill off certain bacteria. So particularly if you've things like yeast infections, UTIs, stuff like that, all linked to being bacteria having a bad balance. If you've got instances of those, avoiding sugar is really important, because that really affects that balance in a negative way. And the other bacteria can kind of get out of control then, is basically what goes on. So things like sugar or foods that are a bit more acidifying have a very negative impact. Although they're not directly as such a bad bacteria, it has a bad impact on the balance, if that makes sense. So those would be good ones to avoid if you wanted a healthy, gut biome balance, basically.
So if there is bad bacteria, it feeds off sugar. Would that be right?
So it's more, yeah. So there's all kinds of different bacteria in your body. Some of them will be doing it, like even things like E. coli, it will be doing a job. What you want is for those bacteria not to get out of control. And in terms of food, you want to eat food that help the balancing bacteria grow and be kind of more prolific, basically. And sugar has kind of a negative impact on those ones, so it knocks the balance off, basically.
Ah, right. Okay. Okay. And do people come to you with symptoms at all regarding gut health that might be affecting them?
Yeah, so the inflammatory conditions are really common. And that's the sort of thing you would hear about a lot. IBS, IBD, Crohn's, colitis, things like that. And just sometimes people will come in with things where it's not diagnosed necessarily. They're just having gut pain and abdominal pain and bloating. And that would be, it would be quite common. I would have people come in with those kind of issues. And then you can also get, sort of various other problems, things like diverticulitis, constipation, stuff like that. So it all comes in various different guises, and we just kind of work on whatever people need. But yeah, inflammation's a very big factor in that very often. I'm seeing more and more people as well coming in with recovery work that we're doing after they've had something like celiac's diagnosed. And even once you've had the diagnosis, you can stop eating all the gluten if you've had celiac's, for example. Obviously there's other intolerances that have a bad impact, but there's so much inflammation and so much damage to the gut that they need a bit of extra support with recovery. Just cutting out the problem food isn't always enough to do the fix. Sometimes they need that extra help to just support them.
What kind of symptoms, like for example IBS, what kind of symptoms does that give in terms of gut health?
So abdominal pain would be one of the main ones, bloating, and just like going to the toilet, the patterns just being all off. So sometimes people switch between going all the time and not going, or sometimes people are just going all the time and they've got a flare up and things like that. And it can really kind of impact people's quality of life very negatively then, because some people, they don't feel like they can leave the house even, it's really difficult.
Do you know what? I was actually going to ask you about, that was the next thing I was actually going to ask in terms of the symptoms and how much they can affect the quality of someone's life. Have you had people that you work with explain to you exactly how much it does impact their life?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had people where they felt like they could barely leave the house because things have gotten so bad. And they're very, very, very wary about going out or eating out in case they eat a trigger food and things like that. Sometimes people, their systems are so inflamed and there's so much going on that loads of foods trigger, because it's just the fact that you're trying to digest something when everything's that inflamed that can cause problems. And it's massively impacting on people's quality of life. I think the problem you have with digestive issues, you can't really rest your digestive system properly. Like if you broke your leg, what do you have it strapped up and take the weight off it and, do things like that. You can't really do that in the same way with digestive system, because if you don't eat, you're going to starve. And things like intermittent fasting is actually really good, because it does give your gut a little bit of a break. And there's a lot of studies to say that can be really beneficial, but you can't give it the same break you would give another part of your body that might be broken, for example. So it's kind of more about working with your body to try and do the healing, because it does cause all sorts of problems. And you say you can't just go, I'm just not going to use that for a while and see what happens. You need to kind of have a good understanding of how it works to help support them in the healing processes.
Absolutely. And have you had your clients say to you that how much it affects their sleep at all as well?
Yeah, so sleep problems and digestive problems are actually quite common that there would be crossover with those. So your digestive system kind of shuts off a bit when you go to sleep, which is one reason it's not recommended you have a lot of food just before bed, because you don't digest it as effectively. And your liver kind of takes over when you're asleep. And if your liver is kind of struggling in any way, that might be because your digestive system's a bit backed up and it hasn't got a route to clear things out. It might be because you're stressed, your liver gets really impacted by stress. It might be because you've not had enough water that day, or it might be because you've got just tension around that area. You might have pulled something. There are all kinds of different reasons why your liver might be kind of struggling a bit. And also, liver struggling doesn't mean liver failure. It just means it's not, optimum. And then your liver might go, right, I can't do a whole night, and it tries to do a detox cycle at night. It might go, I can't do a whole night. I'm gonna wake up and do some work through the digestive system for a little while. And that's far more likely that you'll be waking up then in the night if your liver's having a slightly harder time of it, because you're then not all those are linked into your digestion as well. And as well, your digestion is so much in terms of like cycles and how things move through the system. If you're eating late, some people won't sleep very well, and there's lots of different things like that that can have an impact when it comes to sleep.
That's awful, isn't it? Because like if it's impacting your sleep, so you might not be sleeping properly, and it affects you going out as well, possibly. Do your clients talk about depression at all? That because of all those things.
Yeah, there's a very direct link between depression and digestive issues. Most of your serotonin, which is your happiness hormone, is made in your gut. It's over 80% is made in your gut, which is a huge amount. So if your digestion's not working properly, you literally can't make enough happiness. So it has a completely direct impact on how you're feeling. And they've actually started doing some studies where they've looked at treating depression with things like probiotics and stuff like that to try and improve your serotonin function that way. And it's amazing to kind of see the difference of people in terms of how they're feeling when you start working on the digestive system. But I think also you get this kind of downward spiral with things. I think this would be true of any kind of chronic condition. I sort of think of chronic conditions as where you're struggling a lot every day. So a lot of digestive issues would come into that kind of category, basically. And I think if you're struggling with something every day, you're going to be very miserable. You're going to feel stressed. You're going to be tense. The tension that you end up with from stress puts a very real physical impact on your digestive system. You work on people and the tension, it's like there's people stood on top of their digestive system. How is it going to work properly if it feels like there's someone stood on it? It's not. And you're going to feel rubbish. You're going to, you're not going to feel happy in that situation, as well as the serotonin impact you've got as well. And then the stress makes the digestive problems worse, and the digestive problems get worse. It makes the stress worse. You end up in this kind of vicious downward spiral sometimes, which is where having some treatment and stuff can come in really useful, because we can kind of turn the tables a bit and go, right, let's do this, that's going to have a positive impact here, and then we do this, that positive impacts that, and we just switch it over a bit and get it working more effectively. It's nice.
Yeah. What kind of foods are good to take in to maybe help produce serotonin?
So more about kind of looking at your overall gut health, and for different people I would say that works differently. So there are some different supplements and minerals and things like that that do help specifically with mental impact hormones, things like magnesium, zinc, stuff like that. There's certain things that you can take that do help in terms of mental wellness and things like that. Certainly magnesium is very good for anxiety, for example. But it's from a digestive point of view, we sort of think of it as like, look at the overall picture. How is everything doing? So it might be that one person's got a lot of inflammation, and therefore they need to, be having anti-inflammatory stuff, like lots of greens, turmeric, things like that. And that helps reduce the inflammation, and that'll improve their gut health. For somebody else, they might have a lot of pressure and tension around their gut, it might be that yoga and deep breathing is and massage and things like that is helpful. For somebody else, it might be that everything's really blocked up. So, you know, there's techniques we can do to help with things like that. So it's more kind of, rather than a specific thing that might help, what are your specific gut health issues and how do we work on those? Because it's with things like that, it's not necessarily a one size fits all model. Although all of those, you know, if you're doing yoga and turmeric and things like that, that's good for anybody. You know, can't necessarily do all of those different things in a week. So it's better to kind of look at what your specific issues are and then tackle those and work that out. And sometimes obviously people don't necessarily know what their specific issues are, which is when it can be useful to be chatting to somebody that has a bit more experience with it all. But yeah, generally speaking, if you're just sort of feeling your stomach and palpating it, if it's very tender, you're more likely to have inflammation. If it feels very hard, you've got a lot of tension, and that, you know, things like this can kind of give you a clue as to where to start and work on things.
Brilliant. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So Joe, thank you for that introduction into gut health and, you know, what helps and what doesn't help. How important is gut health to your overall well-being?
So it's really crucial in a lot of ways that people don't realize. One aspect of it would be nutrient absorption. So if your circulation isn't very good, if your gut's a bit sluggish, if there's other things going on like inflammation, you're not going to be absorbing as much nutrients as you should. And a lot of people are deficient anyway. You know, a lot of people are not eating quite the right diet, or they're not eating the right diet for their, maybe their activity level, or they're healing from something, they've got wounds or something like that, they'll be using more. If you're on certain contraceptives, you'll be using more. Everybody's needs are a bit different, so often people aren't eating quite what they need for their situation anyway. And then if you've got digestive issues on top of that, you can be really compounding any deficiency impacts. So sometimes when I've got clients, then they'll be like, oh, my hair and my nails are so much better now, you know, which you wouldn't think is a direct impact of it, but as they start absorbing nutrients a lot better, it's amazing what else kind of crops up and comes in. And nutrient absorption, some of the most common symptoms would be poor wound healing, fatigue, and poor immunity, so getting sick a lot and things like that. So the energy levels is another big one that that gets impacted when you do this kind of gut health work, because it really, you then absorbing everything properly, that can work a lot better. And the bacteria in your gut plays a huge role in the immune system, not just through nutrient absorption, but also in fighting things off and protecting from other bacteria and things coming in. And there's lots of kind of different ways that bacteria has an impact, but including actually balancing your hormones. You've got a bacteria in your gut that stops you recycling estrogen. So it's an estrogen dominance is a far more is probably the most common hormone imbalance that you would see. If somebody's got things like endometriosis, fibroids, cysts, all of that, they're all linked to estrogen dominance as opposed to other problems. So that's probably one of the most common ones. And that can often be very closely linked back to the gut health, because the binone bacteria is not in balance. And then you're recycling too much estrogen, you end up with too much estrogen in your system, other things start to crop up. So it has these sort of very direct impact in ways that people don't even know about very often.
Yeah, I mean, from what I got there, I mean, it sounds like gut health affects your energy levels, your immune system, which is that's a massive impact it has.
Yeah, definitely. And those are only the ones that you really look at like directly, like hormone balance, immunity, fatigue, things like that. And obviously, when you're talking about nutrient absorption, that's your building system for your whole body. So if your gut health is really impacted and your nutrient levels is altered, it impacts everything. You can't fix stuff in your body without the right building blocks to do so. So it can really have an impact on everything.
This kind of echoes how important nutrients is in terms of, you know, what you're eating, what you're drinking, because that obviously affects gut health massively.
Yeah, definitely. So actually, one of the best things you can do for your gut health Which sounds kind of scary, and well, not scary, but overwhelming when I first mentioned it to people. Eating 30 different plants a week is one of the best ways to maintain like that balance. And you say 30 and people go, oh my God.
Yeah, I was like thinking, low. Gosh.
That's so many.
That's a
but actually, when you look at it, that includes grains. So that's rice and wheat and rye and things like that. It includes seeds and nuts and things like that. It includes herbs and spices and herbal tea, as well as all your regular fruit and veg and, you know, pulses and things like that. So actually, when people look at it and they add all those different things in, they're often not quite as far off as they worry they're going to be. And sometimes just making a simple change, like, you know, bread to a seeded loaf, which has got four kinds of seeds on it, can be enough to, you know, make that change from to take you from one plant up to five suddenly. So there's very simple changes you can make around that, which really help get you up to 30 plants. And yeah, just eating that kind of range of color and things like that makes a really big difference.
It sounds it. When you said that, I thought, okay, so got to get these 30 plants, put it in a blender.
Yeah, people panic. They're like, I can't eat 30 different vegetables. Where would I even find them? But actually, when you start including, yeah, herbs and spices and grains and seeds and things like that, you go, okay, actually, that's a bit more doable.
Absolutely. So, yeah. But saying that as well, I mean, it echoes the importance of having that level of, you know, that many things to focus on each day. I mean, it's quite, you know, and when you're going out, you're making sure you've got what you need to kind of maintain your gut health. It sounds like a job in itself.
I think it can feel like that. The sort of thing I recommend people do in terms of, say, like 30 plants a week, for example, is just kind of look at what your regular week looks like first. And then if you look at your regular week and you go, okay, well, maybe I'm at 25 plants instead of 30. As I said, maybe just go, well, I'll just add a packet of mixed nuts in or something like that. That's another four plants or whatever it might be. Sometimes there's actually just simple changes. It's better to sort of look at where you're at, and rather than trying to make huge, sweeping, drastic changes, go, is there any small, simple things I can add that is going to help? And yeah, so something like a bag of mixed nuts, seeded loaf, something like that. Sometimes they're really simple things that can make the difference. And I often find when you're saying to people, you know, add a little bit in, it can feel a lot nicer than the recommendations of take this out and cut this out and subtract this.
Absolutely.
So very often when you're saying, I'll just add, you know, add these one or two things, people are often a bit more like, oh yeah, no, I can do that. I can get my head around that. Whereas if people start feeling like they've got to cut things out, that can be a much harder adjustment. Whereas if you're adding things in, it can feel a lot easier. But yeah, certainly nutrition and that kind of side of it can be quite overwhelming for people. I always try and help make it as simple as possible, and, you know, very much looking at people and how, where their lives are, where they're at, and go, right, what can we change? What simple changes can we make? And the important thing to remember when you are making changes as well is that you're happy with them. You know, don't try and do something, you know, don't be trying to drink a smoothie that you hate, or, you know, eat these kind of veggies that you don't like, because you're not going to stick with it. And anything health-wise, you know, the goal is long-term, right? You don't want to be healthy for 2 weeks. You want to be healthy the whole time. So if you're picking stuff and finding additions that you like, those are the ones that you're going to stick with. And there's no point putting yourself through the pain of something you're not enjoying. And there's so many food options and different ways of doing things, you'll always find something eventually that you like and you enjoy, and therefore you're much more able to stick with it.
Absolutely. Are there any certain plants, salads or nuts that are more healthy than others, or to maybe, I'm just trying to find a shortcut here to the 30 that's needed. Are there any specific, yeah, do you know what I mean? Are there any like shortcuts, like, well, you know, specific ones where, you know what, that's good enough? If that makes sense.
Yeah, so certainly nuts and seeds are real like little powerhouses when it comes to nutrients, which makes sense, of course, right? If you think about what's in them and that you're going to grow a whole tree out of it or a plant, whatever, it makes sense that they're going to be really good. And there's a lot of best foods when you look at nutrients, minerals, vitamins, things like that, and you look down the foods that are best for those particular vitamins and minerals, like, you know, what they're found in the most, you'll often find there's a lot of seeds and nuts in that column, basically. So those are really good, and obviously they're quite small. It's simple to add into the diet. There's lots you can chuck them in smoothies, have them as a snack. That's quite a good little addition, I find, for people, and for just, you know, you can be, if you've got a bag of mixed seeds and nuts, you can be adding quite a few different plants to your week that way, without doing you know, without making huge big meal plan changes and things like that. So that's something that's quite useful. Green powders is another good one. That's something that I recommend a lot. You know, things like Corella, spirulina, wheatgrass, barley grass, those kind of really dark greens. They're excellent for your liver. They're really, really good for helping your system have a bit more alkaline. Most people's are a little bit acidic. And we tend to have cut a lot of those bitter greens out of our diet. You know, years and centuries ago, we would have had a lot of that in our diet still, but they're not quite as palatable. So we tend to have, as we've had more foods available to us, have gradually cut those bitter greens out. And they're so good for your liver and your, therefore your digestive function as a whole. And actually you can get them in handily in little pills now. So that's what
I know.
You can stick them in smoothies if you're making smoothies regularly. But sometimes the easiest thing is to just supplement them. And certainly if you need a liver boost or digestion boost, that can be a really easy way to do it. And you can get those little pills and say they've got sort of four or five different plants in them sometimes. So those green powder tablets, I find a real little simple boost and they're really good for you. So I'm all about simplicity. So
no, and that's fair enough.
If I can get it in a handy little pill, that's great. I have gone through stages where I've been great at like making smoothies every day and sticking all my powders in and stuff like that. But that level of motivation comes and goes even with me. I don't expect anybody else to do it. But I think people are going to have a much better experience if you're just realistic about kind of where they're at, where you're at, what's, you know, make things as easy as possible. So long term is the goal, so simplicity reigns with that.
Absolutely. My brother, funny enough, he has like merengue tablets. Mm-hmm. Merengue, like a supplement in the little and you can actually see it. I think it's quite clear and it's got, you know, you can see the greenery and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he swears by it. He says it's really good, you know. So it's something I'm yet to explore and get into, because I try my best, and I think it's like all of us, we all try and add a bit of greenery every day into our meals. Yeah. But sometimes it's like, gosh, you've got to force yourself a little bit, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It can be a bit tricky. It's good not to worry too much about every single day. I find looking at things that like a week as a whole can be a bit better, because most things you're not having, I mean, obviously water and vitamin C, B vitamins, you kind of need to be replenishing every day. So like plenty of fruit and veg and that, but you don't need to be getting every single thing every day necessarily. That's I'll take that with a pinch of salt. Obviously if people come back and go, I didn't eat protein for a day, that's all terrible. Like you need your macronutrients obviously, but as you say, it's so easy to get bogged down and be like, oh, I have to have this certain thing every day and this every day. And just, so long as your overall, your diet is that, you know, people talk about balanced diet and that is really true. Just overall, so long as you're getting a good range of color in your veg and you're eating plenty of different veg and plants and things like that, and you're eating in a way that's healthy overall, and you can manage the odd other little bit or a day where I didn't make my smoothie today or I didn't have this today, that's fine. So long as the overall picture is looking healthy, you don't need to panic too much on individual day.
Oh, yeah. brilliant. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So, Joe, abdominal massages, talk to us about that and how it plays a role with gut health.
Yeah, so with abdominal massage, one of the things we're doing is taking a lot of pressure and tension, like you do with any massage. It's releasing that pressure and tension that you get from muscle tension. And whenever anybody says, oh, you know, my gut health is impacted by stress, you might hear this from somebody with IBS or whatever, and they say, oh yeah, I'm stressed, and it's, you know, it goes on my stomach and things like that. That's what we're talking about. It's the pressure that you get from stress, the tension that adds to the digestive system, stops it working properly. Your digestive system, if you think about how it works, it's all about good absorption, flow. All of that requires really good circulation. If you're already tense from being stressed, circulation is going to be appalling, and their free absorption is going to be appalling, and the digestive flow is going to be appalling. It all has this sort of bad knock-on effect. So with the massage, what we're doing is releasing that tension and releasing that pressure, but at the same time it's also improving the circulation, which helps with the nutrient absorption. And physically, you can literally physically get things moving again and get restarted. So with some of the people who've got blockages in their gut and things like that, you can physically get it moving around and speed up that digestion if it's sluggish, get it back to a bit more of a normal level. And because it's really good for relieving that pressure and improving that circulation, it's also great for reducing inflammation as well, which is really, really helpful for your body and for its healing. And circulation is what your body needs to do any healing. So if you've got any tissue damage, you know, say I have something like it's got IBS or something like that, the tissue is damaged and inflamed and not working properly, taking that pressure off it, improving the circulation, reducing the inflammation means your body can then get in there and do that healing work, and all the good circulation is bringing all the good things in that it needs for the tissues to repair. So it makes a really big difference in terms of kind of releasing and relieving all of those problems. And then it's also good for circulation, also has a positive impact on your hormones as well. You know, hormones are one thing that's circulating through your body. So it's, I had somebody in not that long ago, was type 1 diabetic, and she had one of the pumps on that gives kind of automatically does a reading of her insulin levels. And she always said the day after she came in for a session, her insulin levels would be perfect for the whole day, which was really nice. So it just, it has that real positive impact on your system as a whole. And I also do, obviously gut health is one side of it. I do a bit of gynae work as well. So obviously the sort of lower abdominal part when you're coming to women and things like that. And it just has that kind of positive hormone impact there as well, which is really good. I said estrogen dominance is quite often a problem with a lot of people. And you see it more very commonly in people with digestive issues, as we said, because it has that hormonal impact. So kind of being able to work on people in a way that has a positive impact on all of that at once, you can get really great results for people, which is lovely. And then, as I said, I teach everybody the massage that comes in as well, so they can do it at home, because obviously with digestion, as I said, it's every day, isn't it? So it's like going to the physio and getting your exercises to do at home. That's going to give you the best results. It's the same when you come for massage. I teach you the massage, and the more you do at home, the quicker it gets healed up. And then, you know, ultimately we are trying to get people symptom free, but I think when you've had a problem, you're possibly always going to be a bit more susceptible to that issue as well. But once you've gone through that process, having kind of a better understanding of, okay, this is my warning signs, I can feel it getting a bit worse, straight away you can then do massage on yourself. That's really going to give you a lot more ability to help your body and feel better in yourself as well. I think mental health wise, that's a really important thing too. So yeah, that's kind of an overview there of kind of how it works. But so yeah, it's really nice to see all the good results of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any simple lifestyle changes people can make to improve their gut health?
Yeah, so 30 plants a week is one of them. Certainly have a count up with that. I know it sounds scary, but often when you do it, you go, oh, okay, maybe once I've added these herbs in and things like that, it's actually not quite as bad. Certainly having foods in your diet that are kind of anti-inflammatory and good for that, you know, bacteria balance, the fermented foods, things like kimchi, sauerkraut, kefir, stuff like that in your diet. And countries where they have a lot of that in their diet have a lot less gut health issues. You see that very commonly. And then having that anti-inflammatory stuff in your diet is really good as well. So things like ginger, turmeric, those like, you know, bitter greens and a lot of greens in the diet, all of that's really good as well. And I find as well, something that's very positive impact is doing deep breathing. So that literally massages you internally. So if you're doing very deep belly breathing, so you want to keep your chest relatively still, do very deep belly breathing. So 7-11 breathing is a good one. So breathe in for 7, out for 11. Very good for reducing stress impact on your digestive system. So if you're feeling a bit stressed, you know that kind of goes to your stomach and it makes you feel a bit queasy, or you're more likely to have a flare up or whatever else. Doing the very deep belly breathing when you're feeling stressed limits that physical impact as well as helping it to release off. So having a very regular practice of that is really good. And it's great for circulation around your liver, which is then good for your bile quality, which could be fat digestion and acid digestion. So it kind of helps your system overall, as well as helping you feel a bit less stressed as well. So it's quite a good practice, and it's a nice simple one. You know, we're all breathing anyway, just do it a bit deeper. It's nice and easy.
I've done some shows on breathing, and you're absolutely right. There's so many health benefits to deep breathing, and just doing, just even in the evening, just for a couple of minutes or whatever it might be, some really deep breathing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Even just 2 minutes a day makes quite a big difference in terms of that tension under your ribs and things like that, which can impact your colon, your liver, your small intestine, your enzyme production, things like that. But bacteria production, bacteria balance, everything like that just gets benefits if it's working and your circulation's working better.
With winter on its way now, obviously, I mean, are there any tips for, you know, boosting immunity at all?
Yeah, so obviously gut health in general, following all of that stuff, and a healthier gut, your immune system's going to be better. Garlic's a really good one for immunity. So kind of having plenty of that in your diet can be really good. Mushrooms are really good as well. They're really high vitamin D, which a lot of people are low on. And obviously this time of year, even more so, because you're not getting that sunshine as much as we would be otherwise. So reishi, maitake and shiitake mushrooms are some of the best ones for immune system. You can get them in a supplement, because ideally you want to be taking them like every day for a month, which even for someone that likes mushrooms, that could be quite a lot. So sometimes supplementing them's a better option, or just an alternative for people as well. Echinacea is really good. So people, sometimes they'll use echinacea not quite the right way. So it's always good to have a bit of information about that. Echinacea only really benefits when you are already feeling ill. So if you feel like you get something's coming on, or you're already ill, that's when you want to have the echinacea, because it's a booster. It's not an overall strengthener, if that makes sense. So you have some people come in and they'll say to me, "Oh, I've been taking echinacea all winter," and I was like, "Then it's not going to really have done anything, I'm afraid." You kind of need it sort of just when you're feeling ill to get that extra boost. And also, little and often is best with echinacea. So not taking it in a big supplement. Sometimes you can get sometimes you get supplements and they're like, you know, four or five a day, something like that. So those little ones, or in a tea is really good as well. I quite like, there's a few like elderberry echinacea teas and things like that around, and elderberry is good for viruses and stuff anyway. So those ones I quite like. So things like that, sort of regular teas and things throughout the day is another good way to have the echinacea and just give your system a boost if you're feeling a bit rubbish.
Should you regularly review supplements as well that you're taking?
Yeah, I think that's really important. You shouldn't need to take anything forever. The idea would be that you kind of balance your diet and get everything a bit more, so that that's able to look after you. But, you know, the flip side of that would be that we don't always know exactly what our body needs and what it's dealing with. If you've been more stressed, you'll be using more nutrients. If you've been more active, you'll be using more nutrients. If you've had an injury, you'll be using more nutrients. So sometimes, you know, having those supplements and those boosts, I try and do sort of decent multivitamin once a year just to make sure I'm topped up. We don't always get quite as much nutrients out of the ground anymore either with over farming, you know, and they've looked at it. Some minerals, when you actually look at the stats, it's like 50% less than what you would get, you know, kind of a few decades ago, which is like really shocking amounts. And that even goes into like the, dairy and things like that as well. There's not as, because the, you know, the, even with animal products where we would think those would be a bit more protected, you know, they're eating the crops to feed themselves, and those crops are not as nutrient rich. It actually goes into the animal products as well. So even those you're getting less from than you might have done a few decades ago. So supplements are definitely a good way to top things up. But you should be taking them continuously. So I think first thing to look at with supplements is always, is it natural source or food source? That's really important for absorption. It's more crucial with the minerals, particularly metal minerals, things like magnesium, zinc, iron, chromium, stuff like that, because your body just really struggles to absorb them if it's not from food or natural source. It's a bit like licking a pipe to get iron. It's just not your most effective delivery method. And I've had people come into sessions before where they've been taking, you know, some non-natural supplements for a while, and they've been taking them 6 months and they're still deficient when we've done tests. So they might be a bit cheaper, but you're not necessarily absorbing what you need from them at all. So really good to make sure food and natural source, particularly those metal minerals. Vitamins doesn't seem to be as impactful. You still seem to be able to absorb those. That's a bit of a generalization, but generally whatever format they're in is not so bad. Whereas with the metal minerals, they're particularly hard to absorb. So that's always a good review to do before you even buy stuff, if you can, or if you've already bought them, I would certainly check that. And then another good sort of test I tend to do with people, generally it takes kind of maybe 3 months ish. That's again massive generalization, but so kind of if you're particularly low on something, taking supplements 2 to 3 months is generally enough to kind of get those levels back up. Again, bit of a generalization, everybody's different, but what I say to people is if you stop taking it and you feel worse, I take it for another month. And it's always about listening to your body and what that's trying to tell you. And that's quite a good way of doing a little bit of a review yourself, is if I stop taking this and I feel a bit worse, I probably need to take it a little bit longer. We're probably not quite up to the level that we need to be in terms of those. So, certainly I would be reviewing not just your supplements, but also your diet. If you feel like you are having to take a lot of supplements to get what you need, maybe look at reviewing your diet, or if there's anything you can do to improve your gut health and your absorption, because you shouldn't need to be taking them all the time. I probably do a top up once a year or so, but which is not necessarily a bad practice to have. But if I was really focused on eating more of my superfood smoothies, maybe I wouldn't need to do that. You know, sometimes it's a time thing as well, which is fine. Everybody's lives are different and things. It's definitely good to be doing reviews of where you're at and not be taking things constantly just because you read something 2 years ago that said this was good for you or whatever. So it's very much listening to your body and making sure that's still what you need. And some supplements as well compete with absorption. So this is particularly with protein. I think zinc and iron compete, and certain proteins compete. So sometimes if you've got something that's very high in a certain thing, you could actually be suppressing your levels of something else. So it's really important to be kind of looking at it from that point of view as well, that you're not, by overdosing one thing, you can actually be having a negative impact on something else. So kind of looking at that is quite important.
Ah, okay. And basically, for example, I'll just give a general example, like vitamin D, our bodies should be absorbing that not too badly. Would that make sense?
Yeah. Vitamins generally pretty easy to absorb. Vitamin D you can sort of synthesize and through sunlight as well, so your body absorbs that. That's a very, very common deficiency, but yeah, it's good to just have it in as much stuff as possible if you can. So yeah.
Brilliant. And with Christmas around the corner, I mean, are there any tips you can give us around health and you can offer to counteract that overindulgence?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say, for one, not to worry too much, because I think you go, oh, come on, it's Christmas. Can we not just have a day off? Yes, you can have a day off.
Yeah.
It's fine. You know, one day is not going to cause any problems. If it turns into like a whole month, which it certainly does for some people, maybe we need to start kind of reining it in a little bit. I would say doing a practice of mindful eating is very useful, because I see this a lot of people who just go, oh, it's in front of me, I'll just eat this and eat that, and why not have another helping, which is all fine. And so but do that consciously. Make that a conscious decision. And mindful eating is that more practice of like, just you can have whatever you want, but just before you eat it, just ask yourself, why do I want this? Am I actually hungry? If I'm hungry, do I really want this? Or do I want something healthier? Sometimes it can be useful. Actually having fruit at the same time as you're having sugar, you've got more fiber, so you digest it better. So sometimes even if you're having a lot of stuff, there's ways that you can kind of minimize that impact. And just eating when you're feeling hungry, you know, if you have had a day off, if you have had a day where you've overindulged and eaten loads, don't then force feed yourself the next day. You know, mindful eating is might find the next day you're not as hungry, eat a bit less, that's fine. You know, you can balance it out a bit if you're listening to your body. And kind of working in that way. And if you have overindulged and you've got yourself a sugar addiction and you're finding you're getting sugar cravings, chromium's the best way to combat that. it's a bit like a nicotine patch for sugar cravings. It helps balance your blood sugar back out, so you're not getting the kind of sugar lows which are giving you the cravings then. So taking that for sort of 2 or 3 weeks, trying to have a bit more fruit when you do get a craving, or fruit first if you are eating something sugary, really helps balance that blood sugar back out again. And then you're not getting the cravings, and then it's much easier to, you know, be in control of what you're eating. If you're not getting really strong cravings for stuff, it makes it a lot easier.
Brilliant. And any last bits of advice for the winter blues?
Yeah, so one of my favourite things would be lemon balm. I swear by that. Anybody that knows me will go, oh yeah, here we go. But I love it. It's one of the best herbs. So lemon balm tea is really nice, especially if you can get it fresh, but that's a little bit harder this time of year. You can also get it in a tincture or pills or anything like that. It's a completely natural herb. It's in the same family as mint, so it's really good for you. And it's actually got antidepressant and anti-anxiety properties, one of the only things that plants that's really got that. And you can't have too much of it. It's really good for you. Well, it can make you a bit drowsy, so don't have like 10 cups and then drive, but other than that, it's very good for you. So that's certainly a recommendation. And obviously plenty of vitamin D as well, because that is something that, you know, has that impact. We see that a lot. Through the vitamin D, trying to get outside a bit, I think we'd get very tempted to sort of just hole up, and actually still getting out for, you know, a little walk, even if it's not very long, can be quite good. And your body's healing capability goes up massively. I think it's like 600% or something when you're outside. It's like a shocking statistic. Oh, really? I read that somewhere. I'm sure that's right. I read that a little while ago. So it's your healing capability goes up quite drastically when you're outside. So even just small amounts of time outside can be quite helpful. And the Danes practice the hygge, which is that kind of, you know, real comfort. So if you are holed up inside, make it as comfortable as possible and be as cozy as possible. And that practice of just having everything, you know, really, really nice and comforting, and you know, sort of spending a bit of time getting things how you like it. So if you're going to be holed up inside, it's a really nice space to be. But all that's super good for blues, I think.
Brilliant. Jo, thank you for today. Really appreciate all the advice. Much appreciated. If people want to find you, maybe to use your services or want a bit of advice, is there any way they can connect with you?
Yeah, so Jo Medhurst Therapies. I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook and Insta as well. And I've got a blog that I do, health blog called Discover Wellbeing, and that's discoverwellbeing.info. And my information for what I do is all on there as well. So, and yeah, if anybody needs any advice or anything, obviously they're welcome to get in touch. Always happy to have a chat with people if they need any help.
Brilliant. Jo, thank you again for today. Much appreciated.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.